So this morning, as you see, the title of the sermon is called Go. That doesn't mean y'all leave right now. It means that's just the title of the sermon. It means just say exactly what those two words are is go. And what was interesting with that is I was talking to Josh earlier this week, and I was having some trouble with the title, and I have to give a title. Lisa needs a title for the sermons, and I was like, man, what in the world? I said, I'm not sure what to call this. I know what I'm preaching on, and I know that, but I said, man, I just need to go. He goes, there you go. Go. He says, pretty self-explanatory. It tells what you need. You're getting ready to say. And I said, sounds good. We call it go. So we're going to be looking at a couple different scriptures. Main scripture is Acts 1:8, but we're also going to be looking at Matthew 28:18 through 20, the Great Commission. So right now we have a team of missionaries. Many of them are members of our church. They're on the ground in Guatemala on a mission trip sharing the gospel and building a house. All this week they're going to be down there having the opportunity to share the gospel with that local community. They're going to have the opportunity to build. But what it started out is the process began with what? A vision. Which led to prayer. Which led to planning. Which led to support from the church. Which led to giving. Which led to the supplies that's needed. Which led to the mission trip being paid for. Which led to go. And the interesting part with this, as I was watching this and in planning, you see God and how the Holy Spirit is moving to make this happen. So just pay attention to that for a minute. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get back to the sermon. Father God, just thank you, Lord, once again for this morning. Father, I pray, Lord. Father God, that sitting here through your word, the truth is heard, Father God, and that you are the focus in this. And Father, I just ask God this morning that lives will be changed, Lord. If there's anybody in here, Lord, that may not know you or have a relationship with you, God, that they will be introduced to you this morning. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that somebody here will accept you as Lord and Savior if they do not know you. Father, I just ask God be with us as your word is preached. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So this word go is really intriguing to me. Listen to a few things here. I use the ESV translation. In the ESV translation, the word go is used 1,505 times in 1,369 verses throughout Scripture. In many other translations that you see out there, the word go is used well over 1,000 times. Do you think go, when he says go, is it important? Yeah, it's mentioned a lot. The particular word always leads to an action. When somebody says go, what's the intent? Move. It means go. It means go do something. That means whatever it may be. Growing up for me, when I was growing up, my dad, he was here right now. I'm going to pick on him just for a second. He didn't know this. When he would tell me something, he says, I need you to go do this. It wasn't why. His intent was, go do it. Y'all, anybody have that same experience? Yeah. We do. You go do it. He's not asking me to. I don't need to give you an explanation of why I need you to go do this. He just says, go. And we're going to find that here in Scripture in these verses. God is not sitting there wanting us to sit here and wonder, why does he want me to do this? He is asking us, no, not asking, he's telling. He is commanding. He's saying, go. So we're going to look at this a little differently. We're going to look at, through these verses, we're going to look at the who in these verses. We're going to look at the what. We're going to look at the when. We're going to look at the where. We're going to look at the why. And last but not least, we're going to look at the how. Now, I already know some of y'all in here, like, Lord, Johnny knows how it likes to talk. We might be here a while. So buckle up. So let's go to Acts 1 here real quick. 1:8. Let's read it here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the age. Of the earth, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Now, let's go to Matthew 28 real quick, 18 through 20. Here's what it says. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So let's look at the who that we're talking about. Acts 1:8. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's telling them to go out. Wait a minute. In Matthew 28, he's talking to the same people, the disciples, to go. But there's a little difference in this. He says, I am with you. In Matthew 28, he says, I am with you till the end of the age. But also in Acts 1:8, he says, go out to the ends of the earth. Now, Matthew 28, when he says to the end of the age, he's talking about the church age. Church, when he's talking about the end of that age, what's going on? He's come back. The second coming. He is saying he's going to be with us until he returns. Now, let me get something clear here real quick. How many of y'all are going to live forever? Exactly. How many of the disciples of the best of Scripture do you see walking around us? Anybody seen Paul lately? Or anybody seen Timothy? Or anybody seen these disciples that are running around? Has anybody seen them? I haven't. No, why? Because they're with the Lord in heaven. Here's the interesting part with that is, not just commissioning the disciples to go and then take others to go out with him. He's talking to us as well. He's talking to us as well to the end of the age. He's talking to those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We are called to go. Now understand, this is not if you want to moment. Now understand, there's nowhere in here it says, well, when I'm not busy, I may think about it. Now understand, this is, I don't have time right now, moment. You do not see it. God does not come here. Jesus, and when he says this, he does not come here and say, when you have time, I would like for you to do this. He says to go do it because I commanded you. This is how people will come to know me. This is how people are going to have a relationship. This is how people are going to put their faith and trust in me, is by using you all as the tools to go out here and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. We got the who of who's supposed to go out, but we also got the who of who we're taking it to. It's meant for everybody. We can't go and pick and choose, right? Just because somebody hurts our feelings or we don't like them does not mean we don't go share the gospel with them. No. Guess what? We need to be there with them, sharing the gospel with them. That's when we need it, right? Believers are called to share the gospel. And the gospel is meant for all to hear. I know everybody's heard this before, right? Absolutely. But how well are we doing it? Turn on your TV. See what's going on in this world. Are we adequately sharing the gospel of Christ? Y'all know the answer to that. The church, that is who the church is called to go share the gospel. Church, we're called to share the gospel. We are commanded to share the gospel. Where it's not here just to come on a Sunday morning and listen and be fed and be around like-minded people. What goes on between the Sundays is just as important, if not more important, because we're called to go out to share the gospel. That is who we are supposed to be with Christ, to go out. Is who? We are the church. We are his body. We are the ones that's put into action for his ministry. We're the tools that he uses. That's who we are. And the who is the lost. You ever think about it? Does it ever break your heart knowing that when somebody passes, there's the real possibility that they can be in hell? Does mine. Church, if we don't have an urgency to reach the lost, then what are we doing? If we're not brokenhearted for the lost, what are we brokenhearted for? The world? For the things that we pleasure us, the things our own selfish desires? Because if that's the case, we're definitely not reading the same scripture as I read. That's the who. Is us. The who is God's church. The who is the tools. We are the tools that God is going to use. That is the plan. There is no plan B. This is what he says he's going to do it, and that's how he's doing it. That's the who in Scripture. This leads us to the what. The what is the gospel. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." We are to teach the truth of Jesus Christ. We are to teach God's word. This right here, in the United States, the average Bible in a home is 2. Y'all hear me on that? The average household has 2 Bibles sitting in the house. And what scares me is this, how much dust is on it. This is the truth. Think about that. We are in a considered a country that is lost now. But yet the average home has 2 Bibles sitting in it. How important is the truth to you? The what is the authority of our lives. The what is the creator and the authority over all creation. The what came to this world to be a sacrifice for our sins. The what took on all of mankind's sins and said, "It is finished." The what died on the cross and was put into a tomb. And the what defeated death and rose again on that third day. And the what is alive and well and is sitting at the right hand of God. That is the what that we serve. Do we understand the authority that he has over all of us? Do you understand the authority that he has over all creation? For some odd reason, if we're allowing the world to be the authority over us, and we're allowing the world to dictate what we do in our lives, guess what? We're wrong. We're living in disobedience. I can't tell you how much I beat myself up studying this. Because too many times, as I was studying, I just thought about myself, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. The what is Jesus Christ? So if you're curious about what we should be sharing, I can't make it much more clear than that. In John 14, 6, Jesus said this. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who comes to the Father? Nobody. Except through whom? Christ. This is why it's so important for us to be obedient, to follow Christ, to be willing to go out to share the gospel, because that's what we're called to do. He is the authority over our lives. Not a sport, not an extracurricular activity, not our families, not the church, but Christ. He is the authority over everything. And do we treat him that way in our lives? It's not this fake theology that the world loves to send us. It's not... it's not the things that like to tickle our ears. It's not the things that, makes me feel happy. This is truth. This is the what that we should be sharing with the world. If it doesn't have it in here, guess what? It's not from here. It's not from truth. It's not from God's word. This is literal. It's inerrant. It's truth. There's nothing wrong about this. It says exactly what it meant. And that's where we got to understand it. So next point, when? When are we supposed to do this? When? Now? Y'all hear me on that? When is now. It's not when I feel like it. It's now. Let's look at Acts 1, 6 through 7. So when they had come together, the disciples, they asked him, asked the Lord, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. We do not know when the Lord's coming back. It could be 5 minutes from now. It could be 10 minutes from now. It could be a few years. It could be several years. We do not know that. That's why the time is now. We're called to share the gospel, not when we feel like it, not when we have time. We're called to share the gospel now. Jesus did not tell his disciples to go and bring the lost back to Jerusalem. One of the things that, thank you, love seeing people here at this church in this building. We're the church body. We come together. But too many times we also use that as the get out of jail free card. Well, can I invite you to church to hear the gospel? Invite them to church, but guess what you need to do before that? Share the gospel with them. It's not wait, because guess what happens? What if, unfortunately, and I pray nothing like this happens, but unfortunately that person is plans on to come to church, but they have a car wreck and they haven't heard about Jesus Christ, much less gave them to put their faith in Christ. Because they didn't make it to the church. We are called to share the gospel. Each of us as individuals, we are called. God has equipped us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You realize, as a Christian, as a believer, he has equipped us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Who thinks it's scary? Raise your hand. Oh, y'all, a bunch of lying. I'll tell you what. Who thinks it's scary to share the gospel? Raise your hand. It's okay, but it's not okay. It is scary. Why? Because this world does not accept it. It is scary because we don't want to lose friends. It is scary because we don't want people to be mad at us. It is scary because somebody might get mean with me. Who cares? Y'all hear me? Who cares? What's more important? Their feelings being hurt or their salvation? Let's pick. Share the gospel. Yes, bring them to church, but don't use the church as a reason to share the gospel. Be willing. Be a follower of Christ. Be willing to share the gospel as an individual. Be willing to go out here and share the gospel. Guess what? You might be in places. I'm willing to bet you this. The team that's in Guatemala that is sharing with the gospel with this family and the locals there, there's a real good possibility they're probably not going to be here at Central Baptist Church in Paris, Kentucky. Take advantage of the time. Share it now. That's what it looks like. It always amazes me. I'm as guilty as anybody. How many times when I look back and how many opportunities I miss. You know, hindsight's 20/20, right? How many opportunities I missed that was right there in front of me that I could share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody. And the problem is, it sickens me. It makes me feel bad. But at the same time, what that allows me to do is to help me focus and pay more attention to those opportunities the Lord puts in front of me. That's what's important. You don't know. God puts opportunities in front of us every single moment of our lives. Y'all realize that? How many of y'all go to the grocery store? I know more people eating that. Come on now. How many of y'all go to the grocery store? All right. How many of y'all got a job that works with people, that's people around you? All right. How many of y'all got friends that y'all hang out with? Okay. Let's see. I like throwing this at the students all the time. How many of y'all go to school, in public school? Not everybody does. I understand that. Wait a minute. There's opportunities everywhere to share the gospel with people. I hear too often, like I said, I'm as guilty as anybody, but I hear too often, I just don't have the opportunity. Whatever, you're not looking for it. I'll say it. The win is now. As a believer, as a Christian, all of us are called to share the gospel, not just bring them to church. The win is now. Don't waste time. We don't know when Christ is coming back. We don't know what's going to happen in that person's life. One thing I have learned real quickly and real fast, and this is one of the opportunities I had over the last 3.5 months as a chaplain at UK Hospital. Nobody's prepared for death. Every single time when we had somebody pass away and I got to be with this family, one thing I heard over and over and over again is I wish I had more time with them. You can have more time with them if you're a believer, right? If they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So do you take that opportunity to share with them? Think about that. And let's go to the where. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." In Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of what? All nations." We are called to go everywhere. One of the things Josh and I were talking about earlier this week, a lot of times we try to prioritize what we do first, right? Who's an organizer? Anybody else here an organizer? You got to have everything put in place? I'm not. Ask my wife. She's my organizer. I'm one of the Tennessee just go and see where it takes me. Not always wise, but I learned. But one of the three mission fields for Central Baptist Church that we looked at was, number one, was Paris, the local community. Number two was the state, Kentucky. Number three is the world. Right now we've got a team in Guatemala. But I don't put these in that order for a reason. It's not meant to say we're going to reach them first, reach this first, and reach this first. Now, after we make sure everybody in Paris, Kentucky are believers, which one day I pray it will happen one day, but that's not what we're saying here. Let's look at Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2 real quick, verses 5 through 12. Let me turn there real quick. Sorry. Here we go. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every. This is what's going on here. Anybody know? We got what? We got Pentecost, day of Pentecost, right? So at Pentecost, all these people come into Jerusalem. A bunch. A lot of people from all over that comes there. So listen to this. So, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven. That's a lot. And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" The reason why I say this too is, you got all at Pentecost, you had all these people that came in here, and guess what? The disciples met them where they were. Every one of them. Now here's something that's really interesting I thought, and I was thinking about this, is let's look at Paris. Do we have a pretty significant population of different nationalities here in Paris? We do. You know what would be really cool? Is we go out here and share the gospel with them. They come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they get excited about it. And guess what? And they want to go back home to where their family's at and everything, and they decide to share the gospel with other people and with their families and everything like that. What happens? You see the ministry, the kingdom start to grow, because they're excited about it. Starting here in little Paris, but also reaches the world. Church, we got a team of 9 in Guatemala. Is that right? Am I correct on that? 9 total? Yeah, okay. So I thought I was right on that. We got a team of 9 in Guatemala right now. Y'all, 10? 10, I'm sorry, 10. I just got corrected. 9 from here, thank you. 9 from here, 1 from somewhere else, but no. But, so we got 10 in Guatemala on the ground sharing the gospel. Guess what? God intended for them to be there. You know why? Because they're there. But here's what's interesting. Over the last several months, this church, I'm going to put this church on the spot. We've been averaging anywhere from 200 to 215. Look around for a minute. Look around. There's several people in here. Is there more than 10? Yeah. Why in the world do we just have to go to one place first? Don't we have 10 other bodies that be willing to go somewhere else in the state to share the gospel with the community? Do we have 10 other bodies outside of that that be willing to go out into this community to share the gospel with those here in Paris? What's that add to? 30. And we average around 200. Now, let's think about this. What if L200 got passionate about the Lord and had a fire lit in them like nothing else, that they wanted to get out here and share the gospel and let everybody around them hear it? You got 200 people that go out here. What's going to happen? You're going to see a huge growth. You're going to see a revival, because the Holy Spirit's going to be moving. You're going to see a community come to know Christ. You're going to see communities around this community come to know Christ. That's how it works. That's how it works. We're called to go everywhere. Quit putting, well, if we can't serve in Paris, that means we shouldn't be doing that. No, don't do that. Because guess what? Not everybody is called to go to Guatemala. Not everybody is called to go out into the world. But we are called to go around our local community. We are called to go in this state. We all have those abilities to do that. God gave us that ability to do that. He has equipped us with that. So guess what? Quit using the excuse, we got to do this first to be able to do this, because that's not how it works. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. It just says go. Think about that for a second. It just says go. That's where we're supposed to go, where Jesus calls us to go, whether it's Guatemala, where it's China, wherever it's here in Kentucky, where it's Ohio, where it's Florida, wherever disaster relief's going on. If the Lord calls you to go, you go. That's where we're supposed to be. And this leads me to the how. We're about done. Not too much longer. I know it's getting close. We may go over. I don't know. We'll see. But the how. Let's look at 1:8. Acts 1:8 again. But you will receive power from whom? The Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at John 15:26-27 real quick. It says, but when the helper comes, this is Jesus saying this, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Who is Jesus? Who is coming to help us? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, who dwells within us? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We go is because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Believers, when you come to put your faith in Christ, we are blessed with a helper that will give us the power to be able to go to share the gospel. And the thing is, he will still give us that power to go share the gospel. It's not about our fears. Quit letting Satan put fear in your heart that stops you from going out, because God is greater than Satan. We already know that. He's already won the war. He has already won the war. Look at Romans 8:9. You, whoever, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Spirit dwells within you. So guess what? You're equipped to go out and share the gospel. How many of y'all can you remember a person in your life or people in your life that was a really big influence for you when it comes to help you? I'm going to help you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Does everybody have somebody or people? Absolutely. We all have a testimony. We all have a story how we came and put our faith in Jesus Christ. If you say you put your faith and trust in him, that was not meaning just to go, oh, Lord, I believe in you. I'm going to go sit here on a Sunday morning. No, what I'm saying is I put my faith and trust in you. You are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Guess what? Lords are what? Over us. God is over us. He is our authority. We go when he says go. And he has equipped us to do that. But too often we allow Satan to put fear in our hearts to where it stops us from going out, because I'm scared to hurt somebody's feelings. I'm scared somebody's going to get mad at me. What are we scared of? What are we scared of? We have Christ on our side. We have Christ that's got our back. We have Christ that's holding us up. What are we scared of? And finally, the why. The why is because, one, hear me clearly, it's not an option. It's not an option. Y'all realize that? It's not an option. We're called to go. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he's calling us to go. Share the gospel wherever you're at. He's putting opportunities in front of you to share about Jesus Christ. It's not an option. Let's look at this. Look at Genesis 12, 1. God told Abram to what? Go pack all your stuff up and go. He didn't say where. He said, I'll tell you when to stop. He said, pack all your stuff up, your family, all your belongings. And Abram had a lot of stuff, right? He said, pack up and go. And I will tell you when you get there. And what did Abram do? He packed his stuff up and went. And then later we see names got changed to Abraham, and we're pretty familiar with Abraham, right? There's some pretty big things that went on with Abraham. Still impacts today, right? Some covenants made. What about Genesis 6, 5:22? God told Noah, hey, go build an ark in the middle of the desert where it's not raining. It's dry, really dry. But go build an ark where everybody can make fun of you, ridicule you. What did Noah do? He went and built it. He went and built that ark. Because of his faith, he knew his faith allows him to be obedient. Because he knew he saw God's authority. He knew God was authority over his life. Exodus 3:10. Moses. God sends Moses to speak to Pharaoh. What was going on with Exodus? You remember what's going on? What happened through that? Israelites were what? Let's get out of Egypt. And Moses was put in front. He said, go talk to Pharaoh. Do y'all remember that Moses questioned it a little bit at first? Yeah. It doesn't say he was lacking faith, but he was like, wait a minute. Why me? Because God says, because you're the one I'm using. And we know the story from there, right? Moses went to Pharaoh. These are just a few of the examples through Scripture of men that understood who the authority was in their life. And that was God. Do we? Secondly, a why. It's called obedience. We got to quit giving excuses. I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm busy. I got too much going on. Guess what? If we're relying on excuses, guess what that means? We're being disobedient. Let's face it for what it is. If we're not sharing the gospel with people, we're being disobedient. Christian, it doesn't matter who you are. If we're not sharing the gospel with people, we're being disobedient. It doesn't matter if you have time or not. That's not what Jesus said. He tells us to go and share the gospel. He is the authority over our lives. What's the authority over your life? Sports? Extracurricular activities? Family? Trips? Work? Those are never meant to be the authority over your life. Jesus is the authority over your life. You put your faith and trust in him. Obedience. Mind if I brag about something real quick? It's not about me. It's about watching the Holy Spirit move. Just for a minute. You all got to see something really awesome a while ago with the presentation, the students with the D now. But something else I really enjoy too, not just with that, but we're really, Michelle and I have talked about this and some of the other, our committees have talked about this, but it's been really, really awesome to see how God is using these students and seeing the fire that has been lit in their hearts for Jesus and watching what they're doing. This past weekend for the D Now event, we had 27, was a total of 27 students end up being here Saturday to work on that. How many of y'all have ever heard a teenager not complain about working? But my point of it is this, is that they were excited. They were excited to be with each other. They didn't care what kind of work they were doing. We had them cleaning tables. Hey, parents, they can clean. See, set you all up. But no, what's been really exciting is the fact of this is hearing the stories that they have. I mean, no joke. We had a couple students go to their teacher and say, hey, why aren't you in church? You're helping this out. I double dog Terry to come to church. That is awesome that they see the need for somebody else to pull them in, to get them to go to church, to get them to hear about the Jesus Christ. But also they're inviting their friends. There's a fire in their heart that's lit for God that all of a sudden they see the importance of their friends needing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and guess what? They're doing it. Our children, I just heard some stories this week of our children at school that know Jesus Christ, that are sharing about Jesus in the school with their friends. That makes me excited. You know why? How exciting is it to have a bunch of young people that are on fire for the Lord and want nothing more than to hear other people hear about Jesus? Church, let me look around real quick. How excited are you all? Woo! Sounds it. Church, we got to get excited for Christ. We got to start living in obedience to follow him. We got to quit putting all this other stuff before him, make him the priority of your life, and get out here, get a fire for God, be lit, get your hearts lit for him, allow the Holy Spirit use you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just meant for the kids. It's not just meant for the students to get on fire. It's meant for every one of us. It's meant for the whole church to put him as a priority to go out into this world. And why do we do it? It's because we're brokenhearted for the lost. Why we do it is because we know there's people out here that one day they're going to die. That's the one thing all of us are guaranteed. We're going to die. And there's people that are not going to be in heaven. There's people we're not going to see in heaven when we get there. Guess you don't know the reason why they're not? Because we're not sharing the gospel with them. If they choose not to believe, that's on them. But are we giving them an opportunity to believe by sharing the gospel with them? VBS. We got all kinds of little ministries here, from VBS to all these different ministries, opportunities to share the gospel. There's plenty of opportunities to do it. You just got to, guess what? Put yourself to the side and ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me the courage to whoever you put in front of me that I can go sit down, that I can take and just have a conversation with them about you, to introduce them to you. That should be exciting. That should be exciting. Because that's what we're here for. Y'all realize that. We're not here just to make money. We're not here just to do what makes us happy. Our sole purpose in God's ministry is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. And we should be excited about it. Look at Lifehouse Ministry. I go down there just about every Tuesday to hear some awesome stories of them praying for people, of sharing the gospel with people. The opportunities are there. It's just we got to be willing to step forward and do it. I don't know how much more clear I can make this, but our lives, everything about us, should be prioritizing Jesus. And if it's not right now, take a look at yourself. The altar's open. Church, we need to be on our knees and praying how God can use us to help further his kingdom. We need to be on our knees asking the Holy Spirit to move through this church, to be actively involved in this community, in this state, in this world, willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. In church, if there's people in here, hey, guess what? We all sin, right? We're all sinners. There are things we got to deal with. We need to be on our knees to Jesus because he is a forgiving God. He died on the cross for you. He took that on himself. And if you do not believe in Jesus Christ today, don't leave here without being introduced. Do not leave here without putting your faith and trust in Christ. Don't leave here without knowing him, because he was the only one that will change your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just thank you. Thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to preach. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to share your truth, Father. And Father, I pray, Lord, that for everyone here, Father God, that we really take a look at ourselves, including me, myself, Lord, that we take a look at ourselves, Lord, that are we truly putting all in? Are we all in for you, Lord? Are you the focus of our life? Are you the priority of our family? Are you really just being the one that we're seeking? Are you the authority over everything about us, Father God? And Father, I just pray you open our eyes to you. There's so many people in this world, God, that that are lost. There's so many people in this community, or so many people in this state, in this country, and throughout the world that needs to hear about you, that needs to put their faith and trust in you. And Father, I just pray for this church, for your church all over the world, Father God, that you encourage us, that you give us excitement, that you put a fire in our hearts, Father God, to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us as your tools, Father God, to further your kingdom, to share your word, and to be able to go out here, Lord, boldly with the gospel. Father, I just thank you for this time. And I pray, God, that if there is somebody that's in here today that does not have a relationship with you, Father God, that changes now. That they put their faith and trust in you. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.